Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
We've kind of gone away from looking at things from a system approach, and we look at things in just this linear, this one thing. So it's just a cucumber plant, and I can just feed it synthetic chemicals and I can keep that alive, but we don't look at the entire system, just like the human body. Right. It's like, you know, when we figured out leptin was being blocked, which was causing people to not turn off their, you know, feeling hungry, right, and wanting to eat more. So they connected that to obesity.
It's episode 239 of the Simply Human Podcast with your hosts, Mark and Rick. Two human beings being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and how you can start living more like a human today. On today's show, it is Jeff Chilton. Jeff is an instrumental figure in the creation of the now booming medicinal mushroom product category. With over 40 years of mushroom growing experience, he was one of the first to bring mushroom extracts to the North American market and organized
the first... Is that a sentence you thought you would say today when you woke up? With over 40 years of the mushroom business?
Well, yes, because I knew we were recording this, so it's not a fair question. He was one of the first to bring mushroom extracts to the North American market and organized the first organic mushroom growers workshop in China back in 1996. Wow. So Jeff Chilton, raised in the Pacific Northwest, and he was a really cool guy, and we're very excited. And he sent me a promo code to get some mushroom things, and that reminded
mushroom
me of
things,
like, you know, like supplements and the things that he sells, okay, which is all great. Mushrooms are great, but that reminded me, we had another mushroom guy on a few years ago, and he sent us like a $100 gift card or something, and your response was he gave us a lifetime supply of mushrooms. Because, like, it's because you think of, like, oh, the mushrooms in the supermarket are very cheap. So $100 worth of those is like mushrooms for life.
Yeah. It's like $5 yeah, for like a thing of mushrooms. Yeah.
Or less. I thought that
was just
funny.
One giant mushroom. It was like 8 feet tall, and I just used a knife and fork and just cut a piece off.
James and the giant mushroom. Rick.
Yes.
You have missed a handful of intros.
Yes.
Because a couple of years ago, maybe, we have had several different ways that we've done the show. We used to do them on the first four Mondays of the month. And if there was a fifth Monday, we had a week off. Then we switched to the sevens. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
We used to release shows on the 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. Mm-hmm. Then we had a year, I think 2017, we released like 10 shows total.
Yeah.
So that's kind of when we lost a lot of steam there. That's when Health IQ just pulled the plug on the whole thing. But here recently, it's just kind of sporadic and all that. But one of the things that we've done is we record Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Central, take it or leave it. Like, yes, if you can't, if it is a guest, if you can't make that time work from wherever you are in the world, we love you.
Sorry.
You probably have great things to say.
Probably don't have anything good to say.
Not working for us.
Go to hell.
I don't need you or anybody to be my mother. So
joke for three people, and one person is not watching or listening.
So all that to say, something has been happening on Monday nights unexpectedly that you have missed, and I have been okay with you missing.
I wouldn't say it's unexpected.
Oh, definitely.
Totally expected by me.
And we're talking, of course, about the Dallas Hockey Stars.
Mark got a sex change. Hockey.
Why would that? Why would that like procedure put you out for Mondays and not me?
Yes. Anyway. The Dallas Stars made what many people would consider to be an improbable run to the Cup Finals, and I watched every minute of it. And just the way that the bubble schedule fell, they played like pretty much every Monday for like 6 weeks.
And it's like, well, they're not going to keep winning. They're not, you know, this will be over soon.
Maybe
and they
you
just
thought that.
Kept winning, and here we go. And I will say that I got into it a little bit.
A little bit.
I am so impressed. Now, when the Stars won the Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley's Cup, as it's professionally known.
Use his professional title. Lord.
He
from the Lord.
What is the Spanish word for poop that you said the other day? So it's joke about it. Thank you for addressing me formally. And you said come instead of comes. And I said, thank you for addressing
Mark said something, and I responded in Spanish for him to eat S. And he's like, thank you for using the formal usted version, not the familiar two version.
That was a funny joke. So in 1999, the spring of 99, that was my senior year. That was your freshman year at ACU. That was the spring of my senior year.
Yes.
And we got into that. You know, football was over. We didn't have anything to do. It's your spring semester, senior year. You're kind of coasting in anyway. The Stars was kind of a great thing. So Darian Hatcher, Brett Hull, all those got really into that. I have not watched a hockey game since then.
In basically 20 years.
So I kind of get icing. I kind of get off. I kind of understand the penalty box and all that. But I was really.
It sounds like you have a real firm grasp of it.
There's ice. Okay, so I will say this is funny before I get to what I was going to say. So my daughter, Hope, my fourth grader, was watching it with me, and she was like, what happens if they fall through?
That's very rare.
Oh, yeah. I guess like to her brain, it's like. There's
Many
like water.
Don't understand this, but like underneath the ice, it's painted concrete, and there's only like I don't know. It's not much. It's like a half an inch of ice.
Really? So
it's
she's thinking
like
they're
foot.
On.
It's like
an ocean.
Very, very, very small layer of ice
or a lake. So it's like, well, it's not actually like that. So here's what I was reminded.
Tell them that there's sharks that swim underneath there.
I will say,
keep watching for the shark.
I will say this: we were been watching Alone on Netflix, the Arctic season, and Jen had this thought where. This guy pulled up an ice fish, like a fish out of an ice hole, and it like instantly froze. Like that's how cold.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's how cold it was.
Yeah.
And Jen, for just a split second, and then immediately started laughing at herself, thinking about all the fish were just frozen under there, just floating around like.
Just gotta reach in and grab.
Like ice cubes. like they're hibernating.
Just scoop them up.
And as soon as she said that, she was like, "Oh, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever said," and we laughed and laughed. All that to say, I was reminded. Of how unbelievably incredible hockey is. It is otherworldly that those guys do that.
I think in terms of this, and I'm biased, obviously, because I'm a hockey player, but I think in terms of, and I'm just talking about the professional game, really, in terms of overall athleticism, like, you think of, like, all of these skills needed to play a sport at a high level, like your grades of a player on Madden, like
right.
speed, agility,
quickness,
whatever.
Yeah.
But you have to have
hand-eye coordination.
Players are sprinting basically in 45-second segments for 3 hours, 45 seconds on, couple of minutes off, 45 seconds on, over and over and over again. And the game never stops. I mean, it stops, obviously, like, you know.
Periods.
Penalties and periods when the goalie covers the puck. But for the most part, stop it. Quit with your – enough. All right? We've had enough of you already. But, like, you know, there are times where the game goes continuous, and it's not that rare where it'll go for, like, 6 or 7 straight minutes without a whistle. And so it's just bang, 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 back and forth. And so the ability to keep up from a cardio standpoint, the strength standpoint, I mean, these guys are not, like, you know – 6'7", like 300 pounds, like NFL offensive linemen. But like these guys, you know, they're extremely strong. And to be able to do all of this, you know, the hand-eye coordination, you see like, you know, some guys, you know, a puck gets shot towards the net and they use their stick.
That's what I was going to mention. Like, that's when I asked you, one of the guys hit a goal like that. And I was like, yeah. that had to have just been a total lucky.
No, no, no.
And that's not, then they, you're they, like, they, no, they practiced that.
Practices. One of the Stars players, Joe Pavelski, who went to University of Wisconsin.
Okay.
He's captain of the American team in the Olympics. He is known for that specific skill. And it's not just, you know, like in adult leagues, it'll happen every once in a while. You just try to get a stick on it as it's coming towards the net, and maybe it'll change directions and maybe you get lucky. But like at that level, he's hitting it and he's intentionally hitting it
to a specific corner
spot. It's like, well, a player in baseball.
This is what I said.
Who can like hit a ball. Like, I'm going to hit this one to right field and hit it to right field.
No.
Happening like
no,
real time.
It's a baseball player saying, I'm going to hit the right field, and there's just some guy from the other team just draped all over his back and pushing him.
Well, and you never know where the puck
while he's
where the
trying
to come from. Like, the ball could come from up here, it could come from down here, it could come from first base or third base.
It's unbelievable.
I think in terms of overall athletic ability necessary to excel at that, I think hockey, to me, is the most – you have to have the best combination of all the overall skills. Football players are stronger. Basketball players might be, better, cardiovascularly maybe. But I think in terms of what's required overall, I think I give the edge to hockey.
Just the skating. If they were just skating.
That's the thing too. You're doing it on skates. So you have to pick up an added skill other than just locomoting.
If you take
you
away
on skates,
take away the puck, take away the, and just have skating competitions. It's unbelievable. And then add in like, here's these sticks. Everyone has these huge sticks and you're hitting a thing this big and it's just unbelievable. And what's the most unbelievable thing? Are the dadgum referees, Rick. YouTube NHL hockey referee highlights. They are the most unbelievable athletes on the planet. They're like doing like the, they're jumping and they're spinning around
to
avoid.
Over, like, trying to jump over. You know, one of my first jobs I had was a hockey referee.
No way.
You're having to jump up on the boards because you don't want to interfere with the puck and players are there. So you're trying to avoid them. You're having to skate really quick in tight spaces. I thought you were going to say the most unbelievable part is the calls the referees made that
that ruined the Stanley Cup chances for the Stars.
They did a terrible job.
Yeah, well,
probably one of the worst officiated series I've seen in a while. But
well, they're fantastic athletes.
Not bitter at all.
And we'll get to Jeff in here in a second. In other news, R.I.P. Dax ankle.
Oof. The worst part of that is I'm watching the game yesterday, and when he goes down, they show him, sitting on his rear end, and he's holding his calf. And
doesn't
you
he, like,
see,
slam his foot?
And Romo, Tony Romo's calling the game. He's like, you really got to hope that's a cramp there. And I'm like,
no,
his foot is the opposite direction. Like, that's might be a cramp also. But, like, the bulge of his ankle, it looked almost like his shoe was off his heel, and his heel was sticking up.
I'm sure
his shoe had come off, and then you're like, oh no, that's not his heel. That's his whole foot has rotated 90 degrees.
So bad.
And he's not even like hollering or crying. It looks like he's just kind of like in shock.
Well, his tears, surely, he cried, but his tears were
cried
of
after,
the,
like, everybody, he was being carted off the field and everybody's coming up and like,
right.
You know,
it wasn't the pain. It was just like the moment and like all, he was like, he had set the record for yards through four games.
But
anyway.
Also the pain, holy Lord, that has to be insanely painful.
I got run over by a car.
Dislocated ankle, compound fracture. Ugh. Yikes. Have you seen the ESPN 30 for 30 on like how Alex Smith rehabbed?
That's insane.
I really hope that's not what Dak has going on now, because it's going to be long.
Anyway, all right. That was finally let Rick talk about hockey on the show talk. That's what was.
Proud of the boys.
Yeah.
I think they're well positioned for next year.
All right, so this is the Jeff Chilton intro. We talked about that. We talked to him about his birthday. We're doing the birthday games without you.
By we, you mean you, because I missed it.
We talk about the Vancouver Islands.
That's in Canada.
Hockey, they do. There's hockey there.
That's where Jamie Benn is from.
Vancouver.
Victoria, British Columbia.
We talk about fungus. We talk about decomposition, waste, standing in pristine rivers, fishing. We talk about all sorts of stuff. Jeff was really fun. This was great. Here's Jeff.
Sure.
My funny co-host is not on the call, and so it's just me, and everyone's like, well, we're not going to watch now because it's just Mark. But hopefully
Well, we'll do our best to make
right,
sure.
I know we gotta like on. We gotta be extra like clowny. He'll love.
Yeah,
he'll love,
yeah, yeah.
He'll love that we said that about him. So where are you currently? Like, I know you're in a room with books, but like, where? Are you, what city are you in? Like, what?
I am in a very small community on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, and this little city is called Tofino, and it's the surfing capital of Canada.
What? So yeah. A couple of things about where you are. Number one, are you a hockey fan? Are you from that area?
You know what? I grew up in Seattle.
Okay.
And the fact is I'm not a big hockey fan.
Okay. Well, the reason that Rick is not on the call is because I don't know if you can tell by my sweatshirt that we grew up in Dallas. He still lives in Dallas. I am in Texas, not in Dallas. The Stars are in the Stanley Cup Finals as we speak.
Oh my goodness! Well, watching the finals is important.
And that
Come
is
on.
Why, I, like, I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
But he is like hardcore, so it's like, okay, you're a Stars fan through.
I understand totally.
And the other thing about the Vancouver Islands, have you seen the show Alone?
I have.
Or know what it is, I guess.
I know what it is, okay. Yeah.
Because the first couple of seasons were in the Vancouver, was on Vancouver Island.
They dropped people up on the one of the peninsulas way up. Yeah. I think the Brooks Peninsula or something like that in some place that was so far out.
Well, there's like, they're all like 10 miles apart. And there was one guy that was crying. Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't do this, but I just thought it was funny that they picked this guy for the show. And I think it's season one. He's crying on his camera before you can even like not hear the plane. Like you can still hear the plane. It's like within seconds, and he's already crying. You're like, man, this guy didn't have a chance, and he lasted about 12 hours.
And let me tell you, on the coast here, and I'm out on the west coast of the island. I mean, getting through the bush here
is not crazy. Yeah.
It is really hard. It's not like thinking, oh, you got a great forest and you just walk through the forest. And
ooh, all these
good.
Big trails.
It's not that, it's not that way.
Right. Awesome. Well, so Rick and I will record an intro and we're going to go through your whole intro and kind of do a longer version of and more formal version of that. But we usually start out with a birthday game where we try to guess your birthday, and it's no fun if it's just me. So I'm just going to ask you, when's your birthday?
My birthday is actually September 16th.
That was like not that long, less than 2 weeks ago.
Happy birthday. I know. Thank you. Yeah.
Did you do anything fun or fancy or anything on your birthday?
Oh, no, not really. Actually, right now, I should be in Australia with my girlfriend, but I can't get there.
COVID?
No. Australia's locked down. I mean, yes, COVID in the sense
related.
Of Australia.
Right. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, the border up here is completely closed, I mean, except for essential services with the U.S. I was talking to a friend of mine in Arizona. He says, oh, yeah, we're going back and forth across the border into Mexico. No big deal.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, we can't do that.
Right. Well, my wife and I were supposed to go to Australia in May for the first time ever.
Oh, okay.
And that got canceled. And so we were of course, the one time that we booked flights to Australia.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because I was supposed to go down on the 1st of April for 2 months.
Oh.
And I had just gotten back from South America, where I spend my winters in early March. And then, you know, I had 3 weeks to sort of get it together here. And then it was just like everything just closed right off.
And it's still very odd in the world now.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, Australia, I don't know when anybody's going to be able to get into Australia. Right. Even Australian citizens are having a tough time getting out or in.
Yeah,
getting
both.
In. Yeah. Right. You can't get out, you know, but getting back in, it's like not easy.
Okay. So September 16th, that's the birthday. So now we usually move on to the kind of you giving us your version, Cliff's Notes version of kind of your background, your story, how you got to be doing what you're doing today. You're on all these podcasts, you're doing all this stuff. What is your kind of Cliff's Notes version of your story?
Well, being born in Washington State.
On September 16th.
On September 16th. growing up in Seattle, in probably one of the most premier wild mushrooming spots in the world. I mean, you know, if you haven't been here before, it rains a lot. That's right. What we're known for. And like, we've got like,
secret.
It's called the Evergreen State.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. So we got vast forests and rivers and lakes. And I really love the country a lot. So in the fall, we've got mushrooms coming up. So when I was younger, I got to go out mushroom hunting. And then when I went to university in the late 60s, I was studying anthropology, but I thought, you know, we've got a great mycology department. I think I'll study mycology along with it. So
where did you go to school? It's in, I know we will have already said it in the intro. Yeah. So you in Washington, I read a book, Boys in the Boat, the rowing team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
1946?
No,
1936. Olympics.
Yeah. Well, a very good friend of mine is totally into rowing.
Really?
It's like, yeah, for sure. But so University of Washington, late 60s. And then after getting out of school, it was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, I mean, there's no real jobs for anthropologists. So I think I thought, well, growing mushrooms would be kind of cool. And so I went to the only mushroom farm in Washington State in 1973, applied for a job, got it immediately, and I was there for the next 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So have you ever been on a mushroom farm before?
I haven't, actually. And it's like, there'll be mushrooms that are growing in Texas, and you're like, pretty sure that will kill you. I don't know. Let's go kill a cow, I guess. That's
that's right. Well, but you can't eat that cow without some mushrooms, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, mushroom burger. Yeah, so I haven't been on a farm. I'm sure that's like one of those things, like there's all these sort of underground, pun intended, industries that you're like, until you get into it, it's like, man, I had no idea that like debt collection was like such a big deal. You know, like there's like, I'm sure mushrooms is the same way. There's like this huge like industry that's just kind of under the current of like the mainstream.
Well, yeah, because basically in North America, mushrooms are grown indoors in large warehouses or big sort of barn type structures.
Right.
The only way you might notice that a mushroom farm there is that we make a lot of compost, which is the substrate that the mushrooms grow on. And the compost, I mean, it's kind of like a farmyard. I mean, it's compost. It has quite a strong odor. So if you're driving past a mushroom farm, you might just go, oh my God, what the hell is that?
There's a porta potty factory over that direction.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, no, it's not sweet smelling. I mean, it's such that when at one point a subdivision moved in behind it, and everyone's going like, what the hell? They started complaining. And after a couple of years, a local government made the farm put in a perfuming system.
It's like, hey, we were here already.
I know, since 1930.
Yeah, the smell isn't new, people.
Well, that's what happens to farming everywhere, right, as cities grow out and push the farms out,
right,
because they don't like the barnyard smells and all the rest. So, right. But anyway, yeah.
So I'm sure you are versed on all of the fun guy jokes and puns. I mean, I'm sure that is just like, I'm a big dad joke aficionado, and there are quite a few about fungus and fungi.
Oh, it's like, I must be a mushroom because they keep me in the dark and feed me very often.
See, that's what I hadn't heard, and I'm adding that to my repertoire right there. So very
well, that's
nice.
Common. Yeah, that's that's very common.
All right.
Well, I mean, you know, look, the other thing is too, Mark, is that anytime you say, oh yeah, well, I'm a commercial mushroom grower. Oh yeah, well, what kind of mushrooms, huh?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, he's into the crazy drugs. Yeah, of course he is. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's
well,
like, okay.
And that's the thing. Like when you watch shows like Alone or Man vs. Wild or any of these shows, like they'll have, you know, oh, this mushroom. Oh, I'm so glad I'm in this. I'm trying to shut my door here. I'm so glad I'm in this area with this type of mushroom. But then they're like, oh, don't eat that one because you'll instantly die if you eat that one. Like there's just so much you know, and down here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Here it's like, I don't know, even know, like with the mushroom burger that we talked about. Is that Portobello?
It's Portobello.
That's like the most like, especially in Texas, like there's not, but then I've read books about, you know, the West Coast and there's all these different types that you can go and find. And, you know, so I guess like, can you kind of explain fungi or fungus as food? Like how that's been around. This is one of the other like kind of rules that I live by is like eat things, move in ways, et cetera, that have been around for like the longest. Like meditation has been around for thousands of years.
Fungi
isn't like this like new invention that we have. Like it's been around since before humans. So explain why it's such a good food source.
Sure. Well, first of all, we've been eating mushrooms for thousands of years. In Asia, you can go into their marketplace and there's probably at least a dozen, 15 different mushroom species that they eat. Mushrooms are actually very, very nutritious. Protein levels between 20 and 40%, mostly carbohydrates, but the carbohydrates are really good carbohydrates. They're things like mannitol, which is a very slow acting carbohydrate. They have a carbohydrate called beta-glucan, which is what makes mushrooms medicinal. The beta-glucan is part of the cell wall of the mushroom. Low in fat. And this is kind of what's interesting about mushrooms is when I started work on the mushroom farm in 73, it was like mushrooms, classical nutritionists said, mushrooms are a garnish. They have no nutritional value. They're just kind of flavorful and all that.
Well, maybe like one of type of mushrooms like that. Yeah.
Well, the reason they said that, which is really interesting, they are very low in calories.
Oh, right.
Okay, if something doesn't have calories to give you energy, it's like it's a non-food, right?
Right, right, right.
So low in calories, high in fiber. So mushrooms basically are feeding our microbiome. Good in B vitamins, B1, 2, and 3. Good levels of B vitamins. And then a decent look at different minerals that they've got. Potassium and phosphorus are high in mushrooms. It's just a really good food that has been kind of ignored in the West, and really in the West, we've only cultivated one single species of mushrooms up until the last maybe 50 years ago. All of a sudden, we started to introduce a couple more into North America. And now you can get like, six or eight different species if you're in the right market.
Right.
But really, I look at it as the forgotten food.
Yeah.
And what I call the missing dietary link, because one of the things about the mushroom is you're not only getting those nutrients, but you're also getting medicinal benefits. So listen, what is better than food as medicine?
Right.
And that's kind of what we're looking at here. Not only nutrition, but something that has these medicinal values that are going to be very important.
Right. So, I almost like, I've got like in my drawer over here, like an immune boost supplement, and I'm pretty sure it's like a mushroom.
Okay.
Now, if I'm taking like, you know, obviously the best way to consume a mushroom is to go out and harvest it in its natural state and like just immediately like just eat it. And that's the best. Are the supplements like when you're grinding it down to a powder? I mean, are you getting like, I'm in Texas. I just have the one, you know, these mushrooms growing in my grass. I probably shouldn't eat. I don't know. There's got pesticides all over probably. is that a good alternative, or are there better alternatives? Is shipping them in raw? Like, what's the best thing for me to do?
Oh, look, the mushrooms that you're getting in the supermarket, which are the, what would we call the button mushroom, standard mushroom, it's highly nutritious. It's a good mushroom. Those are the mushrooms that this farm that I was working on, and it's a really big farm, 2 million pounds a year.
Jeez.
Back in 1973, 200 employees, I still eat that mushroom. I still think it's great. And so the fact is that you can get the other ones, but wild mushrooms, like, just kind of don't worry about the wild mushrooms, because the fact is like, if you want to go out wild mushroom hunting, you need to have somebody with you.
Expert.
That knows right. what the mushrooms right. are. Because look, I mean, first of all, most of the mushrooms you're going to find are not going to taste good.
So
that's not what you want. There may be one that's poisonous, but you know, it's, you know, a lot of people say, oh, don't, if you touch a poisonous mushroom, you'll man, die. You are in trouble.
Yeah.
No, it's like, no. You know, the most poisonous mushrooms of all, it takes 8 hours before you even know you're poisoned.
Jeez.
And at that point, it's too late.
Right.
Eight
to do
hours.
Anything.
And yeah. what it does is it causes liver or kidney failure.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, really a serious toxin. But look, if you go out mushroom hunting, if you're in the right place,
right.
and you go out with somebody who knows, there'll be one or two they might find that are choice edibles. And that's really what you want to do. You just sort of key in on certain ones. Up here, like in Seattle or San Francisco or Portland, they have what they call mycological societies. And these are groups. And every fall, they go out mushroom hunting together. They invite people to come along. And then at the end of the season, they actually have a show. And they put all these mushrooms out. They name them. You bring some in if you wow. like. And then after the show and at the end of the season for the groups, they have what they call the Survivor's Banquet.
Well, we lost Tom and Bill earlier in the show. They died after kidney failure. I would have thought a mycological experiment would be like, or a group would be like Michael Jordan, Mike Tyson, you know, all of the Mikes, Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
See, if I was, if
that,
Rick,
that's an yeah, interesting society, the mycological society.
If Rick was on, he would just be berating me and besmirching my honor with after a comment like that. So maybe it's good that Rick isn't on. So,
yeah, maybe not, because I think it's really funny.
See, thank you. Yeah. I'm going to say, just don't watch that one. Just because he'll have a lot
yeah,
to say about
it alone.
This.
Yeah, leave it alone.
Right. So somebody that's this experienced, I feel like you know, because like fungus is
yep.
You hear, oh, you fungus, the fungus among us, and I've got this athlete's foot is a fungus. And then they know it, but that's bad, but then it makes me itch. But then there's this other thing, it's a food. What is fungus, and what is its purpose, like in the ecological or mycological, you know, like conversation?
Yeah, the mycological universe, yeah. let's just call yeah. it. Well, you know, fungi actually have their own kingdom. They're not a plant. They're not an animal. They sit right in between. And what they really are decomposers. So all of that organic matter out there from, let's just say all those corn stalks and the wheat straw and all the leaves that come down every year and the branches from trees, all of that organic matter that falls down on the ground every year, they are part of this natural system that breaks that down. So they're basically lunching on all of that material, breaking it down. They're doing that along with yeasts. They're doing that with bacteria, bugs, you name it. That's all breaking it down to humus to be, so they're basically repurposing all of that for plants to reuse and trees and everything to reuse as nutrients. So they're part of this whole cycle of decomposition. And look, there are a lot of what we call imperfect fungi. And these are ones that don't put up a mushroom.
Right.
They're just down there in the soil. We never see them. And here's just a basic overview of this organism. They don't have seeds. So Mark, how do we plant these things? They do not have seeds. How do we grow them?
May I guess?
Okay.
Spores?
Well, very good. They do have spores.
So, all right, that's the end of the call. We're done.
Yeah,
I got something
but
right.
We don't plant spores
right.
to grow the mushrooms,
right.
actually, but we do use the spores. And so what happens is the spores go out there in nature. They're on the ground. They're on the wood. When conditions are right, that spore will germinate into a very, very fine filament. That filament's called a hypha. When multiple filaments come together, they form a network. That network's called mycelium. Mycelium.
I remember this from biology. I remember
cool.
the word mycelium.
Right on. Well, yeah. That's the actual body That's the fungal body, and we normally don't see it because it's usually underground, embedded in the wood that it might be growing on, or in a tree or something. That's the fungal body. That's the vegetative body. When conditions are right, because this body is like building up reserves and it's growing out and right. decomposing. When conditions are right, like up here in the fall, up pops a mushroom. The mushroom goes through its maturity, and maybe that's 2 to 3 weeks. You know how sometimes, I don't know if you've seen this much, but you're walking along and you walk by this one place regularly, and then all of a sudden one day you go, geez, there's a mushroom. Where the
And it wasn't there like from? 4 seconds ago.
Right? That's right. Yeah. That's right. But the fact is, yes, it was there, but it just wasn't big enough for you to notice.
Right.
Okay, so up comes the mushroom, the cap expands, there's gills underneath, the gills are yes. producing spores, out come the spores, and now we've got the completion of this life cycle. So this is the fungal organism. We basically relate to it as the mushroom, but they're doing all sorts of things out there, and some of these fungi will produce they produce all sorts of interesting chemicals. Some of them are toxins. Some of them are beneficial. So like what my company does is we grow specific mushroom species that have properties and benefits for health. And some of those mushrooms are actually mushrooms that we would be eating as well. But some of them are actually hard as wood that have only been used in, let's say, teas.
Right.
But you don't eat them because they're just, you know, you'd be like chewing on a twig or something.
A piece of bark or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, so what is like the biggest? You have these little fungi growing around. Is there like what's like the world record biggest fungi of all time? Do you even know that?
Well, you know what? They say one of the largest organisms on the planet is a mycelial network up in Oregon that spans some amazing amount of territory. And again, it's not like you're walking along, oh, yeah, there it is. You know, no.
A mushroom the size of the Empire State Building.
Yeah, no. This is the mycelial network
right. That's
underground. And look, that mycelium will be there as long as there's continued nutrient feeding
right.
it. When those nutrients go away, or let's say it's growing and all of a sudden it hits a brick wall, oops, that's the end of the line.
So yeah, right? are we losing that? Like, I feel like, are we losing the organic matter? I feel like we're so, decomposition and waste is such a thing that we're trying to eradicate. And that's like, that's a problem, right? Like we need that. Is that seeing that? Is there are we okay? Like
Well, no, here's what's really cool about mushrooms is that mushrooms, when you're cultivating mushrooms, you're cultivating them on waste agriculture products. So you're repurposing these agricultural products that it's like, okay, what are we going to do with all this straw? What are we going to do with those corn cobs? What are we going to do with any of those things that we've been growing out there? And all of a sudden now we've just processed all these sugar beets and we've got a pile of sugar beet waste. What are we going to do with that?
Huh.
You know, is it something we can put back in the fields? Well, what if we could grow mushrooms on it, get a food crop, and then put it into the fields
right. In
even a better condition than just putting it in as is, because the mushroom will basically be breaking it down and repurposing it and creating even a better, better compost or soil
right. Adjuvant
than previously.
Right. Gosh. So we're coming. We have 5 minutes left, which is insane because I feel like we just started. Promote yourself. Talk about, like, if you do a Google search of Jeff Chilton, a lot of stuff comes up. You'll see Namex come up. You'll see there's one that I believe your son is involved with, Real Mushrooms. Promote yourself. Where can people find out more about this? All your social media, all that stuff. Like, tell us how we can find out more about all this stuff.
Well, yeah. Our company is Namex. You can go to namex.com. We've got a ton of information there, including slideshows about the the mushroom farms that we use, the processing, lots of educational information. I spend a lot of time just educating people about spores and mycelium, right, and mushrooms. And then and that's a business to business, but please come anyway, just for the information. And right, then if you're really looking for a retail mushroom product, you can come to realmushrooms.com.
Right.
And that's where we sell the products on the internet, on the retail side, and 100% pure mushroom products. And that's something that's really important, because there's literally, Mark, there's a lot of products on the market that are not actually mushroom. They're masquerading as mushroom.
Right.
And that's something that people...
But I'm sure someone's making lots of money off those products too.
Oh, God. Making millionaires. You know, that's the nature of business.
Right, right. So you wrote a book. What's the book?
The name of the book is The Mushroom Cultivator, A Practical Guide to Growing Mushrooms at Home.
Ooh.
And I co-wrote that book, and we published it in 1983. That book still sells 5,000 copies today.
Dang, it's on Amazon. Yeah, Mushroom Cultivator. There it is, Practical Guide. Growing Mushrooms at Home by Paul Stamets and J.S. Ooh, that sounds very fancy.
J.S. I know. Yeah. I was really cool back then.
Yeah, like a that's like a royalty or something. But I'm going to put that in the show notes as well.
Sure. I can send you a couple of documents too that might be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just shoot me an email of like a links or something, and I can put all this kind of in the stuff they talk about section. And as we get, okay, so we ask this question to everybody that comes on, and it doesn't have to do, it may have to do with mushrooms. Here's the thing. It's like, we ask this question and some people like can't resist to say something that's, you know, related to what we've been talking about. And those are the people that are just like, no, like, this isn't a job. Like, this is my life, you know? And so I get that. But it's like, what is one thing that you enjoy about life, or something you do that makes life more enjoyable? Like a hobby, just something that's like, you know, something that you just look forward to.
Oh, so easy. I love to stand in pristine rivers with my fly rod.
Ooh.
Fishing for wild trout, and I was just in the Rockies 3 weeks ago for 10 days, and that's what I did every single day.
So like river runs through it type stuff? Well, you've got
absolutely correct. That's right. Yep.
Have you read that book?
Right.
There's the movie, River Runs Through It,
yep,
Brad Pitt.
Yep, I know that.
Well, the book is very short. It's only like 100 pages long, and it's really good. It's really a good book. And it makes you want to go get a fly rod. And like, I've got a friend that goes out once a year. He goes up to his wife's family is from Colorado, and they go up, and he's always got this picture of these beautiful fish, all these crazy colors. So like how often do you get to go do that?
Well, I spend my winters in Argentina, and I do it for 3 months.
Dang. So like once a day, is that what you're going out every day?
Every single day. I do it every day.
And it's such a different experience than like going out to like a Texas lake and just like throwing out a line, like pulling up like a crappie or something.
Yeah. No, I get it. Or catfish or something.
Right.
No, I get it. No, Argentina is well known for some of the best trout fishing in the world. And I kind of escape the rain and the clouds up here in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Go to Argentina, and I spend 3 months down there, and every day I get up,
dang,
I make my lunch, I have my coffee, I go to the river, I stay there until I'm, you know.
Well, do you make your own lures? Like in the book, it really gets into like the, you know, there is like this underworld. Underworlds, like there's these people, there's conferences of these lures that people make, and there's like
they're tying flies.
Right, that's what I mean to say. Yeah.
Yeah, tying flies. And no, I don't. Although I've got the equipment that's been given to me,
right,
but I don't. I'm just more like you know what? I love being out there,
right,
for one.
Right.
You never know. The river is just such a beautiful place to be. The environment there, and catching a fish is just like icing on the cake.
Yeah, it's like if you don't catch a fish, like, oh yeah, I didn't catch a fish. Who cares? Look where I am.
I mean, it's been a great day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's I actually took my son fishing in like, you know, like 15 minutes from here over the weekend. We didn't catch anything, but we had fun. There were some dragonflies flying around. You know, we watched the sunset.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? The joke is, That's why it's called fishing and not catching.
Right. Well, the same thing with hunting. They call it, that's why they call it hunting, not shooting. Same deal. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Awesome. Well, Jeff, this is great. I'm so glad we finally did this after almost 2 years.
It's really been cool, Mark. And I really enjoyed talking to you.
I've got one show that we need to produce and then this one, and I have to find a time to, you know, do the intro with Rick when there's not a hockey game on, I guess. and then it'll come up. But whenever the show, there'll be the video version, and then we'll have the audio version, and the audio version will probably go out first, and I'll send you both links as they go live, and then you can share it with all your folks, and we can go from there.
Awesome. All right. Been a pleasure.
All right, Jeff. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. All right. See ya. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Simply Human Podcast.
The hardest thing about doing the intros on different nights is trying to find the dadgum Zoom files for the certain deals. And so I keep it all written down. But that was Jeff. He's great. We have all the stuff in the show notes. Check it out. I need to use my gift card that he gave me very generously. But coming up, I've already done the interview with Kirsten Beverly Waters, which was really good.
I was in on that.
Oh, yeah.
That was last week.
We just haven't done the intro for it.
Yeah.
And tonight, I interviewed, and it wasn't a hockey thing.
I missed it because I work late on Mondays when we record. I get home right. If I leave on time, I get home right in time to join in the interview, but I was a little bit late getting out, and so I didn't want to like jump in halfway through and be like, hey, everyone, look at me. I'm an attention whore like Mark is.
So we are booked through like the end of the year. We don't have one. Yeah, we do have one Thanksgiving week. We've got the book, the incontinence book. We're starting a book in January. I definitely want to have Petia,
the incontinence book.
I showed you that last week.
About being incontinent?
Yeah. Women being and dealing with incontinence. It's a thing. When you push a baby out of your incontinence.
Oh, okay. Well, now I feel bad. I'm woke. Mm.
So I definitely want to have Petia back on. She's great. So that'll be in a couple weeks. But anyway, that was it. Jeff is awesome. Go to his stuff. Rick, it's good to have you back on Mondays. RIP, Dallas Stars. Now the NBA is over. Hockey's over. It's like, now what are we supposed to do? Dak broke his ankle.
Watch the Cowboys suck every Sunday.
Dang it. Now I got to go in and change that. Hang on.
You don't have to change that.
Okay. I'll leave it.
Yeah, it's just.
No one's watching.
It's in the Bible.
No one's watching anyway.
He tied his ass to a tree.
Yeah,
it's in the Bible.
That's in Genesis chapter
66.
Moses. Second Moses. That's in 2 Moses 48.
Or 2 Corinthians.
Okay. Hey, early voting starts tomorrow, speaking of that.
Well, that means the riots happen.
The South Park pandemic special on HBO is worth a watch.
I'm not a South Park person. I'm
neither
South
really
Park.
Am I.
I just never have watched it, but okay, I'll watch it.
You need to check it out. It's only like 45 minutes long. Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember, go to hell.
So until next time, enjoy yourself.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.